This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Hey guys, we're reunited for the reunion part two. So exciting. Lots to discuss tonight, so you gotta stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
And it feels so good. Reunited with the Real Housewives,
even though none of them are housewives anymore.
Right.
What are we going to call the show next season?
New York.
Real Bitches of New York.
Megan's got it down.
She does have it down. I love it. Hey, guys. I'm Ashley Daniels. You can tweet me at Ashley Daniels tonight. And to my right, I have...
Hey, guys. I'm Thomas Rulina. Please watch my YouTube series. I take you throughout LA. It's super fun, fun topics. It's called Your Time with Thomas. Make sure to check it out on YouTube.
This is Lindsay here. You guys can find me at Lindsay Wegner. That's LYNDSEYWEGNER on all things social media.
And you guys can find me, Megan Stecker, on my social media. Everything is at Megan Stecker. Lucky enough to get my own name, and that's MEGANSTECHER.
Amazing. I'm just getting our link right now to share it with everybody.
And I'm wearing my tinsel lashes, guys. Head to my Instagram story to see.
I love it.
They
look
amazing.
I do
have to say, throughout the season, you ladies have had, like, you guys have the best hair at AfterBuzz TV.
Oh, that is so nice.
I think the audience
agrees. Is that because I'm addicted to your show?
No, I love everybody's hairstyles, like the whole entire
That's
season.
So sweet. When I was doing my hair today, I was thinking that you had said that a few weeks ago. You were like, I really love everyone's
I don't think I said
hair.
It on camera, but I'm glad
right.
I got to do it.
It was before we started, and I was thinking like, oh my God, Thomas loves my hair, and it looks really good today.
I love it.
Yes.
I was trying to share the link on Instagram, but I don't know how to do that yet, so I'll have to learn that. I'm a little late on everything in life in terms of sharing on your live story. I don't know how to do it. All right. So, reunion part two. Tonight delivered. I was actually talking to my mother on the way here. She lives on the East Coast. She just went back today from LA. She was visiting. Anyway, she was like, I like the reunion tonight. It's good. You guys are going to like it. But she's like, it's just like, I don't know. There's not a. It's not like other reunions where there's a lot of explosions. It's just
and attacking
kind of,
each other.
Yeah, yeah. So, I do like that they've shared a lot tonight, a lot more than they did on the episodes. I mean, Lindsay has brought up something tonight about the voting situation and how she wished she had heard some of the stuff that they were talking about tonight on the episode that we had all been anticipating.
It was so much more interesting to hear them talk about the stories and how they knew everybody and the fact that Bethany ran into Donald Trump doing the Walk of Shame. She was doing the Walk of Shame. Mm-hmm. And you know, Ramona knowing Hillary a certain way or whoever. It was so much more interesting hearing these stories than actually seeing the election plot line that they tried to put and make such a big deal about that was kind of like a...
I think if they would have gotten all of this out of them while they were filming, that would have made it a much more rounded out storyline.
And open dialogue.
Yeah, it was all about Carol, and it was all about Carol jumping on Ramona, when it could have been so much more of like, wow, well, Bethany met the Clintons, and so-and-so knows Hillary, and, you know... They all had met or knew each candidate, and it would have been so much more exciting and interesting to know that, because then it kind of seems like, oh, well, they know them, or they've met them, and, you know, are they
would have been
voting
more
based
engaged.
On, right, are they voting, and, you know, the fact that he got them all to admit or either plead the fifth on who they voted for, which I think, you know, it was either you voted for Hillary or you pled the fifth, which
exactly.
meant you did
you
not
think,
vote for Hillary.
Do you think that's what it was, that all the people, like Luann, Sonia, 100%. And Ramona voted 100%. For the Donald and
100%.
Just didn't want to admit it? And
and they definitely made the right choice of not admitting it, because they would have gotten, you know, we're
crucified.
Never going to know, but we kind of know.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so even though there weren't a lot of explosions, there was a lot that was shared, and we're going to talk about it all right now, starting with...
Sorry.
We're trying to get on the live chat, too, so we can talk to you guys live. So that's why you just heard
an
echo. Okay. So we started off, actually, with the Bethany and Luann. It was kind of ending that confrontation. And Bethany said that Luann was kind of being pretentious regarding the penthouse situation.
Yeah. Like Andy, actually, they wrapped up, you know, the Tom storyline, and Andy said, you know, Luann, would you like to actually defend your relationship? Like, tell us why it is great when you're not on camera, at home, personally, like, and she gave it an attempt. And then as soon as the word penthouse came out of her mouth, of course, Bethany was all over that. Bethany cannot let her get away with her pretentious, like, dropping her pretentious little bombs. Like, and when we're in Palm Springs, or wait, I'm sorry, Palm Beach.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Versus West Palm.
Yeah.
You know, that and the penthouse and the yacht, and Bethany just went off at her. She said, it's pretentious as F, which she actually said the word. So they went back and forth with that. And then Bethany had to say, she had to go one further and say, for everyone in America watching, I know you're all envisioning some big, giant, multi-bedroom place. It's a one-bedroom apartment that just happens to be at the top of a building.
Right. So, yeah, that word gets thrown around a lot in apartment buildings. I've seen a lot of penthouses that don't look like penthouses, and you're like, wait, what?
I don't mind Luann acting like that. Like, that's what Luann's character is on the show. So I actually live for the yacht and the penthouse. I live for her 100%. For that. And maybe next season she might bring back the whole Countess attitude and, like, you know, that's kind of her role in the show. Nobody else could do it like she can.
I agree with you 100%.
But she can't get the name back, right? We're done. There's no more Countess, right?
She might throw it in her title, in her intro next year. Like, she's not a wife, she's not a Countess, but I am Luann or something. Yeah, like, she's going to throw it in. She's going to keep that title forever in her head.
It stinks that she lost the Countess title, though. It really does.
It stinks that she gave it up for Tom for a lousy title.
She should have just dated him.
7 months.
What was the... I just still don't understand what you needed to get married for. Like, why didn't you just try to date for a while with him see if it lasted?
I really feel like it might have had something to do with finances, because I felt like she was down to just having the Hamptons house in her name, and I remember saying this back when they were first dating and we all thought it was a bad idea. I was like, I think she's trying to nail down a guy that can support her lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what she attempted to do. And they had a lot of fun together because they enjoyed all the same activities like she mentioned tonight. But it was more of almost like a brother-sister thing. They enjoyed the same activities, but he obviously enjoyed extracurricular activities.
Yes!
Exactly. Good way of pointing it.
I would think they would. I don't know, but I just think even if they were only married a few months, I don't think she gets anything anyway, right?
I know he made really good money, so I feel like he probably 100% had her sign something so that in the event of a divorce,
But if the guy cheats, does that mean that she's entitled to something? Mm-hmm. Like, could she take him? Really?
I mean, it's probably in a clause.
In
the small print, like.
Yeah, he had to put that in there in case I cheat.
Right? Exactly.
I would if I were Tom. All right. Tinsley. This is interesting. Obviously, we know she's still with Scott, but they're moving in together in the fall. Mm-hmm. Are you guys surprised by that?
I love that. I'm happy for her. I think if she doesn't return to the show, good for her. Like, she came on the show.
Right.
She accomplished what she wanted to. Mm-hmm. She could have just went to New York. She actually had a reality show that was cool for her. And if she goes off and marries this guy, I don't think she's for the TV. Mm-hmm. Like, she's just a down-to-earth girl that was, like, lost at some point. But now she's found her way.
I don't think she's down to earth, but I am very happy for her. I think she found a guy... I found a guy who's more down to earth than her, which totally. I think is good for her. Because I think she grew up in this, like, princess in a castle life and very sheltered. And something wild happened to her to shake her out of her little fantasy fairy tale life. And it's nice that she met, like, a real decent, nice guy. Somebody who probably didn't grow up with such a privileged childhood like she did, to give her a little more realistic
reality check on life.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And, you know, she says, like, the hotel living situation right now is homey for her.
And I don't know. So it just shows you, like, if that's her version of homie, yeah. then she's not as down to earth as, like, we are.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know, but they are. So they're moving in together. And personally, I was very honest this whole year. I didn't find her interesting. I didn't not like her. I just didn't find her mm-hmm. interesting. Now I would like to see her back because I'd like to see her and Scott together mm-hmm. and see where it leads, see where the relationship leads.
Mm-hmm. What if she got married before the next season airs and then she would be a housewife, so we still could technically maybe call
her
a real housewife.
Yeah. True. We got to get her married.
Did you guys catch, though, when she said, I hid the relationship, so the abusive one, because she said, quote, I knew they would end it. So did she mean, like, his family or her family?
I think she meant her family.
Wow.
But I don't know, because didn't you guys hear that her father was an alcoholic? He was...
I did not hear that.
Okay. So my mother actually told me that she's a diehard fan, and she told me that this was said on the show. I'm like, I got to check in with the girls and with Thomas, because I don't remember hearing that. But something about him being a big drinker. And I don't know if you guys don't... I didn't hear it, so if you guys didn't
like
hear it...
I feel like that's kind of... That is... It kind of rings a bell just because she has an issue with alcohol.
Right.
Obviously, there's some sort of small issue, whatever it is. So this would... I feel like the doctor talked to her about this when she was meeting with the therapist. But I'm wrong.
Maybe if anybody in chat drinker, remembers
but
this...
Maybe not alcoholic. Maybe it was just like heavy drinker.
My mom is deaf in one ear, I'm going to be honest. So sometimes she doesn't hear things. But she did say this night. I was like, oh my gosh, I got to find out if that really is the case. But it just made me think, okay, so the relationship between her parents... regardless if he was an alcoholic or not, obviously it wasn't a situation where she felt comfortable enough to go to her parents and say, hey, I'm being physically and emotionally abused. I'm not saying that that means that that was bad parenting. I'm just saying that some people would be comfortable and some people wouldn't. But I was personally very surprised because she seemed so close to her mother that mm-hmm. she wouldn't go to her if she were being abused.
I feel like what would have made Tinsley so much more interesting to us is if they would have sent her home and filmed at the home that her mother lives in, if it's still the home she grew up in. Mm-hmm. I think that would have given her a lot more, like, texture as a character, and you would really get to see, like, why she is the way she is, rather than her come across as, like, a 41-year-old Paris Hilton type.
That's what I was looking forward to, actually. I thought she was going to reconnect with the social scene. We were going to see her go to parties, mm-hmm. like, once in a while and, like, spend, like, X amount of dollars, like, shopping. But I just, you know, that's how they played her up. But this season, mm-hmm. she wasn't there.
I think she would have appeared a little more classy instead of, like, the dumb heiress with the credit card. That's family money.
I think I was looking for the dumb heiress with the credit card.
Well, none of us got what we wanted.
Did
you guys ever hear her say physical abuse up until now?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
You did. Okay.
That was shocking.
Okay, because that shocked me so much. I must have not heard it the first time. That it was physical. That's very scary, and it's interesting. She doesn't come across as somebody who's been... She seems very trusting, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes that creates a lifestyle where you don't trust people. She seems very open and trusting, but also at the same time, it makes sense maybe why she was self-medicating. Mm-hmm. And now she says she's not drinking as much, so...
Well, she's in a good relationship. She's in a better place. Right. You know, you kind of... Once you start dating someone having a healthy relationship, it does kind of change your life around you. You may stop drinking or you start cooking together or whatever it is. And I'm not saying that it's always healthy because sometimes you're cooking mac and cheese together and it's unhealthy. But you know what I'm saying? When you're with somebody and you're happy, those little things that you were doing, your vices, can be put to rest because you don't need to have the vodka. You don't need the cigarette. You don't need to binge on cookie dough.
Do you think Scott had anything to do with her not drinking anymore?
I feel like he's just a good influence.
But do you think that he said, listen, I'm laying down the line? Like, because if she really was getting up in the morning and making a drink for herself, do you think someone he seems very normal, like a normal type of guy that's just regular, normal lifestyle, do you think that he said, like, listen, I love you, but, like, you need to stop this?
I feel like it didn't even get to that point.
That's just really interesting.
I would wager to say, that probably happened.
I feel like it had to, just because you just don't stop doing something like that unless like what you said, Lindsay, it's just she's so happy now, or B, he's like, listen, like, I love you, but we gotta, mm-hmm. like, put this to a screeching halt. I want you to have my kids one day, and I want to get married to you, make me my wife, and she's probably like, okay, I'll do it. I don't know.
More on Lindsay's side of things, where, like, she's so happy and preoccupied with things they're doing all the time that she doesn't even have time to, like, be anxious and think about the past and need to go have a drink.
Yeah, so I'd like to know what you guys all think out there, too. Why you think she's... Because some people, it's really hard for them to stop drinking mm-hmm. when you're drinking as excessively as she is or was. So, but I'm glad that she isn't anymore. Me and too. Yeah, I'm excited to see her future with Scott and their babies if they have kids one day. Carol says that Adam only lived with her because he was in the middle of moving or in the middle of
That's what she's claiming.
That's why he was shacking up. Yeah, that's why they were shacking up. It's like she doesn't want to admit that she really liked him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's her defense mechanism as like, you know, her past hurts and like her being a widow. It's kind of like, she keeps everything so cool, calm, and surface level. It's like I'm never again gonna have a guy die on me. Like, been there, done that, been married.
Oh, you think this is more a defense mechanism emotionally? Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to get attached emotionally.
Yeah, I think she doesn't think she ever wants to be married again for the rest of her life. So I think she keeps her relationships at a certain level. It's like, listen, we're not going any deeper than this because I'm not going to marry you and I'm not having kids with you. So this is where we stop emotionally.
I had a moment when I was watching the reunion and I thought, okay, that is the Carol that I liked, actually. I like the Carol that was talking about her books and promoting and doing certain things like that. I didn't really care too much about the Adam story too much because I feel like Carol, like, brings it upon, like, the audience to know that she's independent. So I'm like, be that person then. And maybe next season we'll see her as, like,
developing a book.
Yeah. Like, that's how I felt about Carol. Because I kept wondering why I didn't, like, connect with her this season. And I didn't connect with her love life.
Yeah. Mm. True.
She has a lot more to say about Bethany's life than she does about her own.
She does.
Oh, good point. You know?
True that.
And they were really on point with the questions tonight. I have to say, some of the questions that Andy were asking are some of the questions we've actually had here at AfterBuzz. So it felt really good to hear these questions.
And I could tell they were good questions because all the ladies were agitated.
And I love it when Andy doesn't give her an easy way out because he's the closest to Bethany. Yeah. So I'm glad that he still asks the questions. I know it must be tough. If that was my best friend sitting there, I would be like, listen, like, I'm only going to ask you the questions you're comfortable answering.
Right, but he
draws that line. He's like, I'm your host right now and I got to ask. And I'm just like, Andy.
And she didn't shut it down. You know, some of these women, they're like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, there's some housewives I can't think of the top of my head, but there are, like, some that are like, those, we're done. We're not talking about it.
Yeah. Teresa does that a lot.
She's a good example. It just really went on, and I was so drawn into this whole conversation.
Yeah. Bethany did try to shut down the question about Bryn finding out about all this stuff in the future.
Yes.
And he re-asked it, I believe, twice. To get her to answer. And I thought her answer was BS.
It was BS. She just kept circling. She's too smart to not understand what the question was. We all got it. Everybody else got it.
And she's like, oh, well, I think by the time she finally Googles this when she's 12, first of all of her friends already probably have smartphones at school. Don't kid with me. All these rich kids running around in New York City.
Oh, definitely.
So don't tell me that their parents aren't telling her friends what's going on or that, you know, I mean, I'm sure she's probably already, like, heard people whispering about it.
Oh, yeah, the kids.
Even if Bethany doesn't know about it.
Yeah, you know? Bethany's very sensitive about keeping Bryn's life happy. Mm-hmm. She really, like, you could see she always gets choked up when she talks about Bryn and happiness with Bryn. And rightfully so, she had a really messed up upbringing herself, so she really wants to give Bryn something great. And I think part of her feels guilt that her relationship with Jason didn't last because I think, not because she thinks she did anything wrong, but just because she didn't want her daughter to grow up in an environment where it was a broken family. I think she really truly wanted Bryn to have the life that she didn't get to have, in the sense of, like, her parents loving each other and everything. So I think, obviously, she makes up for it with, you know, she gives her a lot of love, and she's always smiling and doing fun things with her and being a great mom, a hands-on mom. But I think she's like really sensitive about it.
Yeah, it's like her life repeating itself in some kind of way with Bryn. So.
Right, yeah. It's very sad to see how bad the situation is, and we will talk further about that. But let's so Carol, she says she isn't seeing other people. She's like, she didn't say for sure, but she kind of said it. She was like, I don't know how she worded it, like, nah, I'm not really seeing anyone right now.
She's concentrating on the marathon.
Right. But she said that she, in terms of if Adam were to be seeing anybody else, she said that...
She wouldn't care, right?
She says she can't say it would bother her if she found out Adam would be seeing someone else.
Together with Tinsley and Scott. So, I mean, obviously they're remaining friends right now, and there's probably still a connection there, and this is just potentially just a break, and maybe one of them eventually will start dating somebody else, and then breaks are real hard.
Breaks are hard.
We were on a break.
I know.
Breaks are hard because the lines are blurred and things get messy. And something one person thinks is okay, the other doesn't. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All rules out the window.
Right. Well, it seems like Carol, we can't really see what Carol's really ever feeling or thinking. It's really, really tough. But I think she puts that strong front on, like, she's just it's irrelevant to her whether or not, like, it works out or it doesn't. She's just indifferent. She's like, okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's really, I don't know. How do you not get attached to somebody or at least admit that you would be hurt if they were seeing somebody else? Because they were really, they were together all the time.
You just don't want to admit it on camera either.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe this break, quote, with Adam is, she's gotten to a point where she's like, look, you're getting older. We had all the fun I thought we were going to have together. I didn't think this was going to last this long. You should maybe, you know, I've got one good summer left. Is that where, you know, where she only had 5 good summers. I don't know where we're at with the summers, you know. And she's probably thinking, like, I should probably cut him loose now before this gets any harder. And so he can go on to, like, meet a nice girl, have some kids, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you're spot on with that, Megan.
Definitely.
I think that that's what this break is about. She's like, look, we're either going to go on forever like this, or I got to cut you loose because you really do want to have, like, that full family life.
She did say when she's, like, alone like that, she's the most creative. So, again, mm-hmm. I would love to see her do something this season because there wasn't a lot that she did this season, to be honest.
Right. Like, she never did that book with Adam.
Yeah.
She, the season before that, she told her editor, maybe it was last season, too, she told her editor to take a hike because they weren't agreeing on her current book. So it's like she really hasn't written anything in a long time. Like maybe she has to with a contract she signed.
Right.
Yeah. We'll see what she does.
Well, staying on the topic of Carol, voting. We'll talk voting for a second. Were you guys surprised at all to hear that Bethany voted for Hillary.
That surprised me, actually.
It did.
Me too.
Because she was so anti-Carol, I thought, okay, well, there's a reason for that. She's voting for Donald and...
I mean, she was so anti-Carol's, like, big Trump...
Yeah, I thought that there would be no way that she would have voted for Hillary. But she said she was upset with the... What'd she say? She was upset with the
both
choices. Yeah. With the events of what happened. Like, she just didn't like anything about it.
It sounds like she didn't want to vote for Hillary either, which I'd be interested to hear.
I heard that from so many people, that they just didn't want to vote for either of them, but they chose...
It's just impossible to choose a good one. I didn't like the choices either.
Yeah, nobody really... was like, I mean, I don't know many people that were gung-ho. Like, I know 100%. Everybody was a little bit on the cusp. Dorinda, Hillary, that's not a surprise. Sonia pled the 5th, and Ramona pled the 5th. I feel like when you plead the 5th, you voted for Trump. Like that's just my opinion. Why would you plead the 5th and not say Hillary? And Luann pled the 5th.
That surprised me, actually. It really did.
Yeah. Why do you say that? Why does it surprise you?
I think I thought she seemed a lot like Dorinda in, like, just, like, an educated, world-traveled woman who would support Hillary on the charity circuit and would want a woman to be president in her lifetime. And, like, I just thought that she would have voted for Hillary over Donald because she doesn't seem to me like, oh, I'm so rich and I love reality TV and I need the tax break. Like, she just seems so like, I'm so Upper East Side, darling. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought she seemed more like a Hillary voter.
What if she was a Hillary voter but didn't want to say?
I mean, there's a chance. I think that'd be interesting.
I mean, I feel like definitely Sonia and Ramona voted for Trump. I just feel like it absolutely, that's 100%. But I feel like Luann.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have really, like I said, like most of them talked about their relationships with Hillary and Donald and.
She has a photo with him, like, laying...
She worked for him, like, consulting in hotels, so there's a deeper connection there beyond what, you know, you see and stuff through media and all this other crap. I think the most surprising thing was how upset Carol got at Tinsley for not voting, and the women kind of, like, jumped
on
her.
Yeah, they all were like, are you kidding?
I hate when people jump on people like that. Like, it's like, you see, like, with Kathy Griffin or anything that's been happening in the news in the past year, and how one person gets upset, and then everybody, like a swarm of bees, is like, let's go and
But do you notice, though, it was all the women that voted for Hillary that got upset with her for not voting?
Yeah. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
But they're assuming she would have voted for Hillary,
They're assuming that. And I don't know what she would have done.
I was thinking was at least she didn't show up and vote for Trump.
Well, I mean,
right.
I don't even think she realized at that moment by saying that answer. Right. I think she thought she was safe.
She thought she was safe by saying it,
And then when she felt like everybody attacking her, I think that's when she was like, oh, God, that was a good thing
this
to say
on
camera.
I mean,
just didn't surprise me that she didn't vote. She's very like, I'm going to remain in La La Land. I don't care, whatever. Yeah. I have credit cards that magically, like, give me everything I want. Mm-hmm. And everyone else is kind of, like, viewing this as, like, a life and death
situation.
Yeah. Even though they all have, I mean... they all have money. I mean, Luann and Sonia are probably the most, the ones that are most struggling, I think, out of all of them. But still, like, in terms of not suffering, you know, being at a level of financial success that they can at least all go, they can all basically do whatever they want right now. I mean, I don't think any of them are, right? Do you think, I mean, yeah. I think, really, like, even Sonia, if she you doesn't have her house up. In the townhouse.
I just have to say something. I don't know about you guys, but when we were watching past seasons, did you guys ever think Sonia was going to move out of the townhouse? Like, it just made it seem like she was at the very end of, like, her money, and she still has it.
Yeah, I think
did anybody feel like that?
I think sometimes she paints a picture of something that maybe is not accurate. Because you don't live in the taxes alone on a townhouse like that are insane.
Yeah. I was assuming that her ex-husband still owned it and just it was like
her to live
it
there.
Was like, yeah, in the divorce settlement, like, you will live here and raise our daughter and I will be happy to know that you two will be.
Do you think he pays the taxes on it, you're saying?
I think he probably pays for it
till the heating bills
till she's 18.
Got it.
Once she's out of the townhouse.
That's what she's talking about the apartment. That's what she's talking about the apartment.
There we go.
And if she has any claim to this house, like, sell that thing. That thing is a lot of work. Like, sell it, get the money, and get yourself something a little more understated. Mm-hmm.
Well, every time she puts it up on the market, she puts it at a number that just, there's no bites. And she just always takes it down because it's sitting up on the market. You don't want something to sit there longer than, like, 15, 30 days, I would think.
Well, she should hire Bethany and Frederick.
She should.
That might be an episode.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, my God.
Frederick would lose his mind in that place.
Okay, this is, like, crazy now. So, Sonia and Frenchie. So, it's, my God, what the heck? So, we hear that the ladies have heard a rumor that Frenchie was cast as an actor to play Sonia's boyfriend on the show. And Carol said she heard that he was cast to play as well. Who was the other woman that said she heard it?
I know
Luann. Okay.
Oh, Luann was living for that because after everything Sonia's done, she was like, I heard it.
Yeah, she started the whispers.
But if she heard it, why wouldn't it be something she brought up during the show, during filming on the show? She wanted to wait for the reunion.
Yeah, maybe she wanted to wait.
So you don't think this was something recent that they had heard? You think that they've heard this? They heard this from day one, and they've been holding it in.
Maybe.
That's a big thing to hold till a reunion.
I don't feel like Luann was in a place to, like, bring it up, but I think somebody else brought it up, and she jumped on the opportunity to kind of give it credibility and said, "Like, I heard it. I heard it too."
Do you think it was brought up, and then they edited it out?
Ooh.
Oh.
And why didn't Andy say, you know, Andy always says if something's, I forget, there's been so many circumstances where Bravo was blamed for something. And Andy will say, absolutely not. I can tell you that's not true. That's 100% false. So
he didn't say anything.
Well, yeah. he said, cast by who?
Right, but that's all he said. Like,
it's kind of suspect.
So I think what happened is Sonia set the storyline up for herself and maybe let her producer in on it. But it was kind of like, listen, I got this guy. We're going to set something up for me. I've got a guy. I've got the other guy, Rocco. I don't know.
I mean,
I think it seems totally plausible. Why would she all of a sudden have this gorgeous young French man living with her? Like, she wouldn't just allow somebody she only sleeps with to move in with her.
Mm-hmm. Let's ask the actor. Lindsay, you are also an actress. Do you think this could help his acting career by being on the show?
I mean, when you have, like, look at all the people that come out of the, like, the reality shows. I mean, we have hosts here who come from reality shows on MTV that come in and become hosts at AfterBuzz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it does, I mean, any sort of thing that you can, platform you can put yourself on that can promote yourself,
bless you,
doesn't always mean that it's good press, but it does get your face out there for something else.
Mm-hmm.
And he also runs a hotel corporation, and he said the first hotel was named the Sonia Suite, so it also helps with that. Because now it's added extra business. Mm-hmm. It's like I just saw one of the Bachelorettes. She does fertility stuff, and now all the, like, women from Bachelor are like, bless you.
Sorry, guys, I had something in the air in here.
They're all doing, like, some of them are doing fertility treatments, but they're talking about her, so it's promoting her company. So now her company has, you know, this many followers and stuff because she was on the Bachelorette.
Yeah.
So it is possible that he's doing it to promote himself. I didn't think their relationship was fake. I actually thought he truly liked her, but, I mean, he could be a really good actor. I don't know. I thought their relationship was, it seemed real throughout the season. I just didn't, it doesn't make any sense to me when you have a guy, like she says, you can sleep with somebody and you can marry somebody, and Rocco seems like such a catch. Like, give it a shot.
Did she have a storyline if she didn't have Frenchie this season? Do you think that the storyline would have been strong enough with Tinsley?
Complaining about Luann.
Complaining about Tinsley. So she needed something. I definitely think it's plausible that she could have met him at this event that she said she met him at and found out he was an actor and then maybe had drinks with him a couple times and said, listen, like, if you want to hang out while we're on camera, it would be good exposure for you. It would be, give me a little storyline. We'll keep it to ourselves.
I think they hooked up.
Yeah. No, I think they hooked up right away. I think they definitely hooked up, too.
And then they had this conversation later on, like, hey, like, what do you think about continuing, like, kind of just doing this show with me and da-da-da-da-da.
Right. All storylines aside, I feel really bad for Rocco because I feel like he's the one that really likes Sonia. And Sonia's kind of just, it's almost interesting to see how she just basically on camera just says, like, he's always going to be there pretty much, like, when I'm ready. And I don't know, maybe that's...
Until he's not, and then she wants him.
Well, admitting to the whole world that you're simmering a guy on the back burner, like, he shouldn't know he's on the back burner.
He definitely doesn't watch the show, I'm guessing.
Unless he's that smitten by her, which, again, is that maybe she really feels that confident. Maybe that's their relationship. But, like, if I were to watch that, I'd be like, oh, okay, I'm, like, an option in the side. When you're done with this, like... cutie patootie.
There could also be a fear, too, that it is going to work out with Rocco, and she's scared of that.
Ooh.
You know, like, sometimes you're afraid of it working out, or you're afraid of losing the friendship because it doesn't work out. You try it, and it's real bad.
Or she's waiting until her daughter's 18 because she knows she really can't have, like, an actual... Maybe she thinks she can't have an actual relationship until she's 18, and she feels like it has to be fun stuff because when she's out of the house and the daughter's away or whatever, she has the guys there, but when the daughter's back from school, it wouldn't make sense to have... I don't know. We never really hear a lot about her daughter, but
she's a woman of options.
Yeah, she's definitely. So Bethany is back with Dennis. I'm happy to hear that. I really liked him from the little bit that I saw in pictures and like just the way she would talk about him. She then chokes up when she says the word therapy. She's been recently doing therapy. We've seen her do therapy for so many years on Bethany Ever After and even on Real Housewives, and says that she doesn't allow people to get close to her and love her. So she said that she was the one who kind of ended things with Dennis, and she did it because she needed to kind of go through the process of what she's dealing with Jason and make sure that she was in a healthy place emotionally. Do you guys think that Jason is going to get in between them again from what he's doing to her over and over again?
I think he's always going to pull stunts. I really do. I don't think that he's going to stop, unfortunately, but I'm happy to hear that Bethany is in a better place and she took the time that she needed to, you know, find her happy place again. And I like what she said, that she's not looking for a slot to fit anymore. She's looking for somebody that's additive in her life. And I think that that's important. So I really hope that this time around he does leave her alone, but something tells me that he's going to be at that corner doing this and it's just going to be a merry-go-round.
Well, I just found it interesting that the women all said, why is he so mad? And Andy goes, what did you do that made him so mad?
And she didn't answer.
And she didn't answer. And Carol jumped in right away, or somebody jumped in and said, he's obsessed with her. Which, I mean, he very
I would have wanted her to, but, like, not.
Yeah, why is he so mad that he's doing this stuff? And then we come back to last week, Style Collective commented on our post saying, we need to listen to the Patty Stanger interview on podcast because they're saying that Jason was actually like cast to be her like sperm donor and get her pregnant, and then he just kind of ended up sticking around, and maybe he is obsessed with her because she screwed him over. And sometimes, like, there ain't nothing like a woman scorned. Well, there ain't nothing like a man scorned either. So perhaps,
do you really believe that?
That Patty and Jill,
from what I remember, they're very close.
Okay, so this is obviously coming from the Jill and Patty camp for sure.
Right, but I remember back, I watched that season so many times, and Jason was, at least it seemed like his parents were very down to earth. He came from, you know, a little ad agency, and he... It seemed as if they genuinely fell in love, and he just surprised her constantly with things that she just never thought that would happen in her life. A man that just loved her unconditionally, and she always constantly seemed surprised, happily surprised by the relationship.
So what happened that he was so in love with her then, doing all these things, that he's so angry with her to be on this level now?
Not only that, she seemed like she was surprised. When she was pregnant, when she got pregnant, she didn't seem like it was something like
right.
It seemed very out of nowhere. But
I think it might. I think it's jealousy. I think it's because it's her brand, it's her empire. I mean, if I was, you know, wanting this fairy tale life with somebody and, you know, I thought that's what we had and then it didn't work out. And just to see her success just completely rise and to have me in the dust, I feel like in Jason's position, he got really, really envious because it was going to be this brand together and this unity. He had the baby he wanted. He had, like, this beautiful wife on TV. And then just the fact that her brand blew up, like, into ways that we didn't imagine.
You let it go at a certain point.
Yeah, there's...
we'll never know.
They say there's all... I mean, honestly, it's... two sides to every story. Three sides to every story, always. And you can't think one person's 100% not guilty of anything.
That's why I'm saying.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to
understand. I'm not, like, completely protecting him. I'm not protecting Bethany. But I'm saying there's something here that we don't know, and especially with the fact that she avoided that question and it didn't get answered, something else is going on. And then reading this interview, I just thought it was super-duper interesting. And I mean, like we said, these are two people that strongly dislike Bethany, so they're going to have a different story. I don't know. Something's just not adding up for me. I still like Bethany. I still have my issues with Bethany. But something is just making me... like, Jason's bad for all the stalking stuff, like, 100%. But why is he doing that?
I mean, $3 million in legal fees. $3 million. It's almost as if he's doing this to just drain her bank account. Maybe. He's just going to keep going and doing this.
I'm sure he did a lot
for
her.
I mean, I'm not saying that's 100%, but I'm saying I'm just guessing if he sees that she's happy and he feels scorned, so he wants to drag her through the mud. But at the same time... you know, she is a very nervous person, high-strung person, and she's calmed down over the years. But I'm sure on the flip side, there are arguments that happened that maybe pissed him off, too. And even if it was the worst arguments in the world, that wouldn't justify or even explain why he's this angry. And he won't just give it up, even for the sake of his daughter. And even the parents are so normal. Like, you would think they would step in and say, that's enough, Jason. Like, this is not the person we raised you to be. Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
See, that's
I don't get
weird,
it.
Too.
It's all weird to me. I don't understand.
And I was fine with
if you guys
Carol,
have any ideas, let us know.
I was fine with Carol being her spokesperson, but up until that question, I was like, no, wait, you be quiet and you talk. Because I wanted to know that answer. And
she's being very protective of Bethany, which I do think it's a very nice thing to do as a friend. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think she can't speak on it. I don't think legally she can say the things that Carol can say.
Right, correct.
And it's really nice to see that Bethany doesn't talk poorly about Jason in front of Bryn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and when they were asked, when Andy said, do you think that he talks poorly about you? You know, she put her head down and just, it's a sad situation. Do you guys think that Bryn does understand the circumstances? Because they don't speak at all. So it's not like mommy and daddy meet up and give each other a hug and they're cordial. It seems as if they do not have any contact with each other.
Right. I think she's not giving her enough
credit,
daughter enough credit, because I'm sure Jason says horrible things about Bethany to Bryn based on, I mean, he got arrested for stalking and they added charges on when he showed up for court. So, I mean, I don't think his behavior around his daughter when it comes to maybe talking about her is healthy at all. So I would imagine that he says bad things about her, unless we're discounting the fact that, like, Bryn doesn't even remember a time that her parents were together, you know?
Right. But do you think she fears for her life at all in this? I mean,
Bethany?
Yeah, I only say, I don't mean to be dramatic, but I mean, I've watched a lot of Lifetime movies, and this stuff doesn't get any easier.
I mean, she seems, when she keeps saying, I'm tortured, like, that she's probably feeling so tortured because she's like, what if he did something to me or Bryn, kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah, I would always be looking over my shoulder and being afraid, and, like, to even go out at night and walk my dog.
Well, at least
afraid.
She has Kevin, her driver, who seems like he escorts her from door to door, which is good, but God, that is
just
scary.
It's a scary life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dorinda's, like, reaction to how scary it was really real.
Well, all of them, even Luann, admitting that now I understand the repercussions and what you were saying, and I have a better understanding of things because of what you said, because of what you've been going through.
Breaking down,
yeah.
I mean, you just think at this point, how many times have they been in court? How many more times does it take for this guy to stop? It's just scary. It shows you that this is what we're dealing with. If God forbid anybody we know is in a situation like this, she has the best lawyers, she has an unlimited amount of money, and she can't even get him to stop doing what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's obviously calmed it down a bit, but it's still, like, it's not like, it's just, it's very frightening, and I'm just, it's very shocking to see that she's still dealing with this. So,
for next week.
What?
What do we have for next week?
Well, I think we have... Do we have anything else about... Let me see. We have... Carol was speaking for Bethany. Bethany says she has faith that she... Oh, she says she has faith that she can have a normal life, but it will need to be zero contact with Jason. And she's happiest when she's with her daughter. And Luann said something, too. She said she must have been... Something about being tortured. Was it just... That she saw Bethany and she knew that she must have been being tortured. Do you guys remember?
It was about like the Berkshires when she pulled her aside and said, like, you know, I don't think you should marry Tom. I don't think he's a good guy. And she's like, I could tell Bethany was breaking down then.
Mm-hmm. And Bethany's mom, that's so scary. So scary.
The just mom to think thing, that that's really frustrating to not be able to speak to your mother and to have your mother constantly putting something negative about you in the press.
That's
well, nice. Obviously, then you're going to stay away from that person. There's just no.
It's very poisonous.
Yeah.
It's
horrible.
Now, it's kind of like Sydney and Tamara. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
On OC.
Do we have any news that we want to discuss
today? Yes, I do have
okay,
news.
Okay, let's do some news and we'll get into predictions.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, guys. Tom strikes again. That guy moves fast. He was spotted. This is so great. If you go to comedian Michelle Collins, who is a stark raving Housewives fan, go to her Instagram. She has a photo someone sent her of Tom eating like at an out. It's in like an outdoor setting, eating with a blonde woman. Everyone's calling, saying it's Missy. We're not so sure. It's just the back of her head.
Oh no!
But he's already on to the next one. So he has been spotted.
Uh oh.
Luann and Andy will sit down for a one-on-one special. This is according to Paige. Actually, according to E today, they said it's going to air September 6th. So I think they're missing their window. I think they should air it right after the last reunion episode, but they're going to wait a week. And aired a week later on September 6th.
That's exciting.
So I'm excited to see what she... I hope she spills... She better spill the tea after all we've been through for the last 2 years.
You don't need to protect him anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Let it all out.
And Carol gracing Architectural Digest her redone couch. Looks fabulous.
Redone.
And she has a really funny quote in the article. It said, I've always approached Housewives as a comedy. In the past, at times, I felt like everyone else was on a drama. This season, though, was genuine comedy. Given all the darkness in our culture right now, people just want to laugh. Luann falling in the bushes gave me life.
Love it.
And speaking of Carol, Adam sent a couple of... He posted a couple, like, happy birthday Carol stuff on Sunday. It was her 54th birthday.
Oh.
One of them was a racy, almost a nude. She was flashing one of her breasts in a swimsuit at him, and he covered it up with a little star.
Pretty.
And so he sent her classy. To, like, happy, which makes me think that she was the one to break it off with him, because he's posting for attention.
Yeah.
Or else they're still together. I don't know. I can't tell what's going on with them. Last item for tonight, Topper is getting remarried.
No.
I hope Tinsley's all right with this.
No.
He celebrated his engagement to Tabitha Simmons, a shoe designer, over the weekend in the Hamptons.
Oh, wow. Do you think that she attended the wedding? Just kidding. Okay.
Oh well, we'll have to see. I mean, maybe they're friends.
Maybe. She's but congrats to Topper and Tabitha.
Yeah.
Interesting names.
TNT.
Just like TNT originally.
And predictions. Let's do some quick predictions.
I am excited to see the Ramona coaster and find out if she has been taking pills.
Ooh. Oh! Yes. And now the lights go. Dun, 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 dun.
I'm excited to find out that. And I'm also excited to hear her talk about how she lets guys do stuff to her, but she doesn't do stuff to them. And
I'm excited to see Ramona as well and Ramona's interaction with Bethany. There's a lot of still unresolved. They kind of stretched it. We had a little in the beginning. We're going to get a little bit at the end. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, when she makes that crazy face and she's like, Bethany has no friends. Like, I'm waiting for that moment where she brings that up because that's so old.
Yeah.
But it only makes them be like, it only makes audiences remind us that we've been watching that long.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
diehard fans.
Gosh, what am I like? I don't know. Anything to happen next week, because I feel like the third one's usually explosive, like the first one. Like, they're trying to hook you in the first one. The third one's usually like, all right, we're waiting for the last final fireworks, so hopefully we get some, because I feel like we ended on a really chill vibe this year, and they don't have too much to hash out.
Left. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we got lots to look forward to. Where can we find you, Megan Stecker?
You guys can find me on all my social media platforms. It's at Megan Stecker, MEGANSTECHER.
Hey guys, this is Lindsay. You can find me on all things social media as well at Lindsay Wegner, that's LYNDSEYWEGNER, or at 6:15 on Wednesdays for Hard Knocks. If you guys like football, you're a New York fan, so you gotta love football. Just don't be a Giants fan.
Hey guys, I'm Thomas Rulina. Now that you're done with our after show, watch my YouTube show, Your Time with Thomas. Make sure to type it in and check it out and let me know what you think of it. Find me everywhere at Thomas Rulina.
And we're not done just yet. We do have next week, and then we'll be fully done. But
you yes, can, oh yeah, totally.
Just wanted to make sure you guys knew. We still want to see you next week.
Part three.
And we will see you next week. I'm Ashley Daniels. You can find me on Twitter at Ashley Daniels. Instagram is Miss Ashley Daniels. And thanks so much for tuning in. Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.